This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee will come to order. At this time, I'd like to greet the listeners on the Internet, and we also want to welcome the folks that have taken time to come on in and be present with us. I'd like the pages to come up and introduce yourself. Give us your name, where you're from, give us your class size, and where you might be going.
I'm Lucy Fods. I'm from Chester, South Dakota, and my class size is around 23 people.
23.
And I plan on going to Dakota State University next year.
I'm Emma Copeland. I'm from Redfield. I'm a senior, and there's about 36 in my class. And next year, I'll be at North Dakota State.
Okay. Do we have one more? No? She's an observer? All right. With that, I'll remind folks to make sure that you put your cell phones on silent, if you would. And the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Here.
Ewing. Is it excused? Klum.
Here.
Otten. Is it excused? Sohold, here. Foster, Heinert,
here.
Youngberg,
here.
Kamak,
here.
There is a quorum, Mr. Chair.
We have a quorum. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Foster. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. I'd like to remind folks, if you plan on testifying, make sure that you take time to sign in at the podium in the back. Make sure you sign in legibly. And any handouts you might have, make sure that you make use of our very able pages. And any questions that are brought to the committee will be addressed through the chair. And at this time, we will consider the bills that are before us. And the first bill is authorizing the hiring of law enforcement officers by the South Dakota State Brand Board and to declare an emergency.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Committee, Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. Today I come before you as a proponent of, or the sponsor of House Bill 1112. Basically, what it does is removes that authority from the Attorney General's office and allows the brand board to hire their own investigators. And I will refrain from saying a lot more. I'll just let the people from the brand board are here, and they can talk further on that. So, thank you.
Thank you for that. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Debbie Trapp, Director of the South Dakota Brand Board. The Brand Board asks for your support today for House Bill 1112, which would transfer the authority to hire four certified law enforcement officers for the enforcement of brand and brand inspection laws from the Attorney General's office to the Brand Board. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I have a handout. The handout is a letter of support from the Attorney General Roundsburg and this legislation. The Attorney General's office currently employs one livestock investigator, and the brand board reimburses that office for the expenses. The investigator is housed at the brand board, and he is supervised by the Department of Criminal Investigations. With this change, the DCI would remain a resource as needed. Passage of this bill would allow the brand board to take a proactive approach, conducting road checks to ensure compliance with the brand and brand inspection laws. The chief's, the brand board's chief and brand inspector is already certified a law enforcement officer, and passage of this bill would give him the ability to utilize that capacity. During the months of October and November of 2019 and January of 2020, the brand board conducted violation inspections for over 2,000 head of cattle that had left the inspection area without an inspection. The certified law enforcement officers would also be trained as brand inspectors, therefore increased in efficiency. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponents?
Good morning, Chairman Kamak and members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. We believe this is a good approach. This is a very important subject to our members, as you can imagine. This is literally about the security of our stock and trade. And the plan that's just been outlined for you, we think will be a positive change in enforcing our brand laws. So we'd urge you to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Cattlemen's Association, and we too rise in support of 1112. It is a good move, and it will help the brand board continue to do what they need to do for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kyle Holt with the South Dakota Department of Agriculture. Seeing the proponents of this bill, the people who have to implement it, everyone seems to be in agreement that this is a move in the right direction, so we'd also ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I'm going to waive the sponsor's rebuttal and move on to the committee. Does anyone in the committee have any questions? Senator Blair.
Yeah, I just have a question under Section 2. Quite a bit of that was stricken. Before it said the investigator shall be a certified law enforcement officers, you put in certified law enforcement officers, which is the same thing, but then you struck out the majority of that section. Was there a reason for that? I guess I just need to explain that to my members when I go back, why all that was stricken from the existing bill.
I can't answer exactly why everything was done. I guess the person that wrote the bill is sitting here too, and just for clarity, I guess to bring things up to date, the first part that's stricken is the Attorney General,
right,
hires the investigators, and that rest that's stricken, I think most of it is taken care of in the definitions part, and basically, that language is not needed anymore. If the board is going to hire those inspectors, those investigators, adds clarity. I might add, too, nobody mentioned the emergency clause. And just for clarity, it's in there because if you remember, a year ago, we allowed the brand board to raise the fees on registering your brand. And we kind of challenge them loosely to maybe come up with some things a little more efficient, do things, we're not just going to let you raise fees, we expect a little bit more, and this is kind of part of that. They started this, last year, really thought that with the executive order they could do this, and the Attorney General thought maybe a bill would be more appropriate, so that's where we're at, and that's why Brand Board also currently has employees at the academy undergoing training. That's why the emergency clause is in there, so we could get it done immediately. As far as the drafting, there's no particular reason other than it just makes it cleaner.
Thank you for that. Senator Blair, I think we can get clarification on that if we could have the staff explain that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Anita Thomas, LRC. If you look at the way the bill is drafted, it says that the law enforcement officers are to be hired for the purposes of enforcing chapters 40-19 through 22 and 40-29. Those are the chapters in the South Dakota codified laws that pertain to the work of the brand board, so there was no reason to give examples, and that's all that that sentence does. Thank you.
That's what I meant.
There'll be no outbursts from the crowd.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Would these be full-time employees of the brand board, or would they be law enforcement officers that are hired that do this in addition to law enforcement activities?
No, they'd be full-time employees, Representative Tom Bruner again. Yeah, they'd be full-time employees of the brand board. And as noted, they could also do inspections, which I think is a great efficiency move. You know, if you're going to do inspections, you see a problem, you've also got somebody on staff that can actually investigate and do those things. So they'd be actual law enforcement officers.
I knew that. I just want to hear you say that. Awesome. Thank you.
Any further questions by the committee? Seeing no further questions from the committee, we'll bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Klum and seconded by Senator Youngberg. Do pass on House Bill 1112. With that, any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I think this is a good bill that's been worked out between all parties, so I ask for your support.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing? Klum?
Aye.
Utton's excused. Soholt?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Heinert? Excuse
me.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous, and since there's no opposition, that's right. We got to leave it on the floor. Sorry. Okay, with that, we will send it on to the floor with a due pass recommendation for House Bill 112. We'll move on to House Bill 1257, and it's revised certain provisions regarding hunting, fishing, trapping on private land without permission. Are there any proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Caleb Fink, District 21, State Representative. House Bill 1257, very simple bill before you this morning. Currently, regardless of whether a person intentionally or unintentionally trespasses to hunt, fish, or trap, it is the lowest type of classified crime, a Class 2 misdemeanor. This bill would require that a court impose a mandatory $500 fine in the cases of intentional trespass. And that's important here, the difference between intentional trespass and unintentional trespass. This would not affect the penalties for the unintentional trespass, and in short, we would be imposing a fine that is meant to deter this intentional conduct and make it more severe than what currently is, which is about equivalent to a speeding ticket. So, with that, I would encourage your favorable consideration of House Bill 1257. I'll be available for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Justin Bell. I'm an attorney from Pierre, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Landowner and Outfitter Alliance. Our group are strong proponents of this legislation, and I don't want to say too much as it relates to this because it's a pretty simple piece of legislation. Right now, whether or not it's unintentional trespass or intentional trespass, it's the same crime. It's a Class 2 misdemeanor. That's the lowest form of misdemeanor. There's no specific imposed fine, but what is almost always used is the fine and bond schedule amounts that UJS puts out every year. Whether or not it's a fine of $154 or $204 depends on whether or not it's trapping or fishing or hunting. But my clients were talking about this over the summer. There was a kind of a general consensus that the current penalties are doing almost nothing to deter contact for bad actors. And this is generally, I want to be very clear, this isn't about the vast majority of sportsmen out there. It's just it's a handful of bad actors that relates to this. And the discussion was had about how big the fine should be, and some of our members came back with about a $10,000 number as it relates to that fine. And, you know, we discussed this a little bit more, and to try to keep this simple and not change the classification of the crime or do anything of that nature, the discussion and consensus was, well, let's make it a $500 fine in statute that relates to this. And so we would ask for your consideration on this. Does have some deterrent effect, make it a little bit more than a speeding ticket, which is the highest end is pretty close to the $204 fine level for this. So we'd ask your support of this legislation, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Lake, Senator, District 23. I'll be real quick. It's just a me too. Make sure that the difference between intentional and unintentional, and like Mr. Bell said about the bad actors out there, they're the ones that are kind of spoiling it for everybody else. And I think they look at the fine right now as just a cost of doing business. If they're spending money to come out and go hunting, another $150 fine is nothing at all. So it's got to be something that they recognize as a little bit more. In fact, as I would probably be in the latter one that thinks it should be a lot higher, but we'll start with this one. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
There. We got it? Okay.
Yeah, start over.
First part, on behalf of the Migratory Bird Association, our members endorse this bill. Their only comment was that it's really not tough enough. We think some of those guys ought to lose their licenses for 5 years. On the other side, my personal self, I really wasn't going to testify a week or two ago until my neighbor, the little old lady from Hawken County, talked to me. And she has a perpetual trespasser that waits till she goes to church or comes to town, and she's got a couple of huge mule deer bucks out there, and this guy tries to get in, and she warned him twice and had the sheriff come out and talk to him. And I think the intent of this bill is to take care of the people like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further proponent testimony?
Good morning again, Chairman Kamak. Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City for the Stock Growers. We too think this puts this crime into a more appropriate, it's a more appropriate penalty for this crime and for that and for all the previous testimony. We'd urge you to support the bill. Thank you.
Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Brenda Foreman, South Dakota Association of Cooperatives, and South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. We rise in support of this bill. Previous testifiers have definitely gone to the good points, and it could be higher, but we appreciate this effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kevin Roblin here, Deputy Secretary with the Game Fish and Parks. We as well rise in support of House Bill 1257. Currently, if a person knowingly trespasses in South Dakota, they are subjected to a misdemeanor, a Class 2 misdemeanor, and for hunting of a fine of about $272.50. That would include court costs and everything that's on the bond schedule. For fishing, total cost $222.50. For trapping, $222.50. So if convicted of this Class 2 misdemeanor of knowing trespass, individuals will automatically lose their license for 1 year. So there is a one-year revocation clause associated with knowing trespass. The decision to charge for knowing versus unknowing trespass is a decision by the state's attorney. So it is a fact-specific, and if the state's attorney believes that they can establish beyond a reasonable doubt that individual knowingly trespassed, that is the way they will charge it. So it is a case is presented to that state's attorney of the situation at hand, and that state's attorney then decides if there's enough evidence there to charge that knowing trespass fee. You know what? One of the reasons we really support this bill, cultivating good landowner and hunter-angler relationships is critical for current and future generations to continue recreating in South Dakota, especially where 81% of South Dakota is privately owned. As you recall, there was a Recreation and Respect campaign with Non-Meandered Waters, and this falls right into that in that same campaign, Recreation and Respect. Good relationships produce mutual respect for both groups involved, which in turn results in more landowners willing to accommodate hunters and anglers in the future. The old adage that one bad egg can ruin the batch, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. We have a lot of great men and women in this state that recreate in South Dakota, but there is always a few bad eggs, and those bad eggs, on average, are about 53, knowing trespass charges are charged every year. That's the average, the three-year average. So 53 individuals that went through over the last 3 years have went through this process of a knowing trespass conviction. You know, looking at the other side of it, an unknowing trespass conviction, about 80, 85 on average are charged with unknowing trespass. So one of the things that the department really wants to do and continue doing, and we have done, is that there are a number of tools available for the public to ensure that they are not trespassing while hunting, fishing, or trapping. You know, for example, the GFP online maps, the mobile app on your phone, there's actually a really detailed, it's a Platbook OnX Maps, they call it, a Platbook right on your phone that gives the private landowner's name, their address. There's a Venza map, so there's a numerous amount of tools out there that recreational users have at their disposal to make sure they are legally accessing property and then, you know, making sure they know where those boundaries are. House Bill 1257 acts as a greater deterrent for those bad actors, and it really does help ensure our hunting heritage remains strong for future generations. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll waive the sponsor's rebuttal, and we'll move on to committee questions. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Mr. Roebling. Okay, so totally support the concept, and it's this issue of knowing and unknowing. And when you talked about the state's attorney and the convictions, and so are they operationally defined in statute, the knowing and unknowing trespass?
Through the chair, Senator Soholt, there would be two different, you know, charges here or convictions, one being knowing and then the other being unknowing. So yes, that state's attorney then has the decision to make, is there enough evidence without a doubt to prove that it was knowing trespass, or is the evidence not there, therefore they're going to probably go with the lesser conviction of that unknowing trespass.
Follow up? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so I get that part. I was just wondering if there was in statute a definition of knowing and unknowing for the state's attorney's direction.
Through the chair? I might have to call up my legal counsel for that one. I don't believe there is, but I want to make sure I give you the correct answer.
If you could phone a friend. I mean, I'm just saying, it sounds like it's all working fine. I'm just, it's really at discretion of the state's attorney.
Good morning. My name is John Katilnik, Senior Staff Attorney for Game Fish and Parks. Through the chair. Senator Soholt, so to answer your question directly, no, there isn't a definition in statute. Knowing versus unknowing is kind of common in the legal practice, and it comes down to intent. What was that individual's intent? If they, you know, walk over a no trespassing sign and then are subsequently caught, that's where the state's attorney can look at that individual's intent to determine, well, they knowingly trespassed because they crossed over that no trespass sign.
Follow up? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so we haven't really had any issues then from your perspective in relationship to the number of people that were, you know, this number, I think you said 70-some were unknowing, and then the knowing trespassers. You've not seen any difficulty where we would need to have statutory direction on to get to your point of intent?
Through the chair. Senator Soholt, you know, intent's always difficult to define, regardless of whether it's in statute or if it's a interpretation by a state's attorney. But no, I don't think there are any issues that would require a statutory change to define that intent.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions by the committee? Seeing no further questions, we will move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing.
I would make a motion for due pass on House Bill 1257.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was happy to see this bill come about, and I haven't double-checked, but I think I did sign on to it. It's long overdue as an owner of ag land and property that has excellent hunting opportunities. I've had personally deal with the bad actors that were mentioned on this, and I think this will help a lot. So I would certainly encourage this committee to pass this wholeheartedly.
Any further discussion? Senator Sohol.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate the good representatives for bringing forward this bill, because I really agree that for the people who are really trying to do it right, that are trying to respect landowner rights, that are trying to, you know, take advantage of permission with landowners and creating good relationships, and then also being hunting on public lands that are adjacent to private lands and trying to be respectful and do it right, I think it's really important that, and, you know, eventually may have to even increase the fine to put even more teeth into it so that people understand that there are, because I think that just to Mr. Roebling's point, really creates better relationships between landowners and people that want to lawfully hunt.
Any further discussion? Senator Blair.
And I just want to help out the little old lady from Hawken County.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1257. With that, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Kalm.
Aye.
Otten is excused. Sohold.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. And the chair certifies that there were no votes and no opposition, and for those reasons we'll put it on the consent calendar. We will move on to House Bill 1095, and that's to revise requirements regarding hunting mentors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I almost wanted to testify in opposition as a frequent trespasser on that former bill, but I realized that would be incriminating myself by doing that.
This is not a concession to this particular bill. Sir.
No, that's correct. Yes. Representative Tom Bruner again, District 29, bring your House Bill 1095 to revise the requirements regarding hunting mentors. A little bit of a history. The mentor program we brought in several years ago to allow a responsible adult to take a child out and teach them to hunt and watch after them. They can't be hunting themselves at the same time. They have to be unarmed, and all their attention needs to be put on this child. And what this bill does, Senator Kamak and myself received a call from a fellow that lives in Minnesota, has some grandkids in our district, and realized that he wanted to mentor his grandkids, but you had to be a resident of this state to do that. And it's like, I'm surprised this hasn't come up before, that we would strike the resident requirement. And that's what this bill essentially does. It's kind of a family-friendly bill. It's a great opportunity for people to come in and mentor their grandkids. And when we brought the bill, Game Fish did provide an amendment, and basically they have to possess a small game license, and also when that mentee's parent or guardian would have that license, they have to carry that with them, which is just common sense, I guess. And basically, then, until you look at the last section there, we just a little bit of cleanup language. If you have a permit to carry a concealed pistol, you can do that while you're mentoring. Since we erased that, and we have constitutional carry, you can still carry. If you pull it out and hunt with it, obviously you're in violation. So that's not the purpose here. It's just to as we move forward into a lot of these sections of law that have to do with hunting, whatever, that we just kind of clean up that language a little bit and reflect our our proud heritage of being able to carry without a permit. So with that, very simple bill, and just allow somebody coming from out of state. I would ask or would mention that when we heard this in the House committee, the fellow from Minnesota was actually there and talked about, since he was here in South Dakota, he was going to go up and spend a few days ice fishing, and that's what this is all about. Let's get more people in this state spending some money and enjoying our state. And he is today. He's at a wrestling tournament with his grandkids, I assume. So that's why he's not here, and not. I thought it's probably not necessary that he call in either. So it's a pretty simple bill. So we appreciate your yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division for Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. And we, too, come in support of 1095. And Representative Bruner gave a good description of the mentor hunting program. And when this program was started, it was all about getting young kids out in the activities of hunting and instill that love and interest in the outdoors and our great hunting heritage we have in this state. Again, as described, the mentor program requires that it is a one-on-one, so that adult or guardian that's out there, the mentor with that child, is unarmed so they can give exclusive attention and focus to that youngster in that hunting activity. I can tell you firsthand as a father who has had my oldest son, who's 9 now, has had 2 successful mentor deer hunts the last 2 years. And I'd have to admit that has probably been the most memorable hunts I've ever been on of all the deer hunts I've been through my entire life. And there's no doubt the mentor program certainly gets young kids hooked on the outdoors. As a department, when we look at the mentor program, we always look at how we can get more folks in the outdoors. And the overall concept of R3 that many of you have heard numerous times, and that's recruitment, retention, and reactivation of hunters, anglers, and people in the outdoors. The mentor program fits very well within that overall effort, and we look at this as a great opportunity, the program we have in place to get youngsters in the outdoors. I can share with you in recent times here, the commission department has also been asked by some individuals as non-residents to participate in this mentor program. In particular, the same example that Representative Bruner brought forward to you of a grandfather or an uncle or some relative from out of state that's coming back for a holiday or coming back for another hunting adventure, to have that ability to serve as a mentor to that resident youngster to go on that mentor hunt. And for those reasons, we certainly agree and support this effort as well. Not only does it fit within those R3 efforts, but it certainly fits within our overall Second Century initiative, and that's to get people and families in the outdoors. So I, too, will stand by for any questions you have on the mentor program and would ask for your full support of 1095.
Thank you for that. Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, are there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we will move on to, or we'll waive the sponsor's rebuttal and move back to committee questions. Any questions by the committee? Seeing none, we will move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Youngberg.
I move to pass.
It's been moved by Senator Youngberg and seconded by Senator Foster. Do pass for House Bill 1095. Any comments on your motion?
Yeah, we've in this committee this year, we have talked about, getting young kids out and how important it is to keep young kids in this sport. So, and I think this is a good effort to do that. So I'd ask for your consideration.
Any further comments or discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll. The motion is due pass on House Bill 1095.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Otten is excused. Soholt? Aye. Foster?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
my wife. My mic's not on. Okay. We will move on to House Bill 1181. It's to revise certain provisions regarding bounties on for coyotes. Welcome, Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Tom Bruner, District 29, another bill that our former district mate used to call, low-hanging fruit? Is that what Larry used to call these bills? But they do take a little bit of time to work through, and the simple bill that you've got in front of you today doesn't necessarily reflect the fact that it's easy, but it's been the thought of several for quite a few years, actually. And as we brought this idea forward this year with legal counsel doing the research, it's like, well, there's already a law on the books, and we don't need to rewrite everything. So basically, this just takes the county part of that in Section 3 and moves it from $4 to $50 to it's totally voluntary on their part. No funds attached from the state or anything. Just allows the county to offer a bounty, or the county to offer a bounty on coyotes. And there's a few counties I think that would want to do that, and nothing would prevent somebody, a landowner in that county, from adding $50 to it or something like that. And so I think it's just gives a nice option for counties to do. The first part in Section 1, there's a the state can offer that also, but we don't have any desire to bring the state into the equation. And it also reiterates that that if you happen to shoot it from outside that county or whatever and bring it in, it is a Class 1 misdemeanor. So we can make sure that people are honest and don't bring something from another county in and try to collect a bounty. I don't see a lot of counties doing this, but there might be a few out there, and this gives them that option. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony?
Oh, is it on?
It's on.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members, once again, Steve Nelson with the Migratory Bird Association, and our group supports this bill. We think it's a good one. I do have here, I went out and talked to about a dozen landowners in Hughes, Stanley, and Sully County about coyotes and their problems, and rather than bring 12 of them in here, they said I could testify on their behalf, and they all said they were in favor of it. I'd want to, emphasize once again, it's strictly a county option. There's no funds from the Game, Fish, and Parks Predators Control Program being taken. There's no monies from the general fund. The ranchers that I had on that list, just to get them on the record, were Cody Warren, Larry Steffens, Robert Calkins, Bob Nystrom, Lynn Metzinger, Terrence Etzkorn, Mike Finley, Walt Bixler, Mike Tibbs, Bob Haddam, and Owen Peterson, for the record. A few comments from them as I talked to them. Calkins said, I've been out here for 80 years, and I've seen coyotes kill a lot of deer, antelope, fawn, as well as a lot of my calves. I just talked to him last night. He told me he just had 5 new calves, and about 3 weeks ago they had a coyote killing program out there within 10 miles of his ranch, and they killed 53 coyotes. And he said, I'm kind of glad they got him before calving season. Lynn Bixler, they live out by the airport here, and she says, told me they have to put their cats and dogs in at night because the coyotes come through the yard, and of course you can't hunt on the airport land out there. And Cody Ward told me they came in last year and took the kids' rodeo goats. Lynn Metzinger said, well, when I was a kid, I helped my dad raise sheep, so don't talk to me about coyotes. Then it comes down to it's predator control. Does it work? Sure, it works. Probably one good example of that would be the governor's program last year on the her war on coons and skunks, which 50,000 were killed. If you look at it,
A hen pheasant lays 8 to 20 eggs, a hen mallard 6 to a dozen, so you've got, say, 10 eggs to a nest. And ground predator, I figured, took one or two nests a year. That would be a million eggs that were saved. The landowners tell me they'll take 15 to 20 nests a year, so you can figure the math out on that, how many nests do the ground predators. But we're talking about coyotes, and Charles Cadu, who is an old friend of mine and a federal trapper and wildlife manager, wrote several books, and one study he had in dealt with antelope fawns, and it was in the state of Oregon, and in an area where the predators were controlled, 76.4% of the fawns were saved. The number of fawns that was lost was six times the numbers that were harvested legally by hunters. And he also said that predation is 49% of fawn mortality. A couple other things I wanted to mention, you know, where are coyotes and what do they eat? Well, they eat everything. They eat deer fawns, they eat calves, they eat lambs, they eat mice, they eat skunks, they eat berries, they eat grape. They're a hell of a killer. And you can do everything you want. You can have the greatest habitat in the world, but if you don't do some predator control, you're probably just going to maintain the status quo. How many are there? I was thinking back 30 years ago, I used to take outdoor writers down to Pine Ridge to shoot a buffalo or do a movie or a TV show, shooting a buffalo off a bareback with a long bow. But I dealt with a guy named Ralph Bearkiller, and I asked him, Ralph, I said, how many coyotes are there down here? He said, there's one on every hill. And then he said, you want to talk about prairie dogs? I said, no, I don't think so. But with that, I'll shut up right now. And this is a good bill, and I hope all of you vote for it. Thank you.
Any further proponents?
Good morning again, and finally, Chairman Kamak and members of the committee, Jeremiah M. Murphy from Rapid City for the Stock Growers. Our members really like this bill. It's permissive rather than mandatory, but it gives the option, if a county has the funds to do this. Looking at your agenda this morning, you've tightened the law on rustlers, you've tightened the law on trespassers, and you have an opportunity here to tighten the law on coyotes, so I'd ask you to go for the hat trick. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, are there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? With that, we'll waive the sponsor's rebuttal and move back to the committee for questions.
Or action.
Or action.
Mr. Chair, I move 1181.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Heinert, seconded by Senator Youngberg, to do pass on House Bill 1181. Any comments on that motion?
I appreciate the representative bringing the bill.
Okay. Any further discussion? The chair just has a quick comment. Recently, I was waiting to see my colleague in LRC, and so I picked up the journal from Territorial Journal from the legislature, and in that, one of the first bills that they passed was a bounty on wolves, and it was in that journal from the 1880s. So it's been something that we've been working on for a day or two. With that, I would have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Otten is here.
Aye.
So hold. Foster?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous, and please certify that there's no opposition and there are no votes, and we will send House Bill 1181 down to the floor on the consent calendar. Without there any further business, we will bring before the committee.
Thank you.
Moved by Senator Plum, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor, aye.